You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, Nick.
And hey, world. We have a special, special thing.
Ooh, special episode.
Special episode. So, don't know if you know, but a couple weeks ago, we did a thing that we are making more of a tradition now, a live town hall. A live town hall through the Broadway Podcast Network that went streaming onto both their website and YouTube. And we figured this would actually be a really cool episode to release to you. A couple of episodes, actually, because, Alex, this is kind of a two-parter.
It is a two-part, yeah. I hope you got a light week ahead because we're going to be dropping several episodes that will comprise the entire experience. It was a time.
So basically what we did, we invited a bunch of our friends, actors from Hamilton, actors from, TV and film, more actors from Hamilton.
Like, do you know anybody else? Do you have any friends outside of Hamilton and me?
I do have friends outside of Hamilton and you, but they're not as fun and they don't drink as much.
That's fair.
You know what I mean? And so that's kind of what we did here was we put them all on the thing. So just so you know, we are going to be talking about, their careers. We have a little fun social media game that we play with them. There's a special guest that comes up in part two, but we will get to that in the part two episode of part two. But with this episode, all you need to know is that this was something that was live and videotaped. So a lot of the references that you're going to be hearing about are references that are like visual rather than auditory. So like, we're sorry, but like you should have been there to watch the thing.
Now this is available. If you Google Little Justice, the podcast, the video link should pop up in Google.
Yep.
If you really want the visual accompaniment, get the whole experience. You can find that on YouTube, but if not, just sit back and enjoy
our part town one. Hall. Part one of our town hall. I love that. Part one.
Little justice.
Did you pick that music?
Yes, I did. Oh, you
did
have
you
no
like
idea.
Set that?
Oh, I have set so much stuff up for this thing. You don't even know.
I'm used to being the one like handling all the tech behind the scenes. I figured you just like slap some pictures together or something. And
nope, that was you. Oh, I got
that was ridiculous.
I have surprises, my friend. I have surprises in store, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm terrified.
Welcome. You should be terrified. This is awful. Welcome to the Little Justice Live StreamYard. Live. We are here, courtesy of the Broadway Podcast Network. The amazing Broadway Podcast Network. And we are here to celebrate the birth of a new phase of Little Justice. Finally, after 3 months of doing this podcast, our social media platforms are alive and kicking.
Yay, Nick signed up for an Instagram.
Finally, we have an Instagram.
Wow.
So the first thing I want you to do while you're listening to this craziness is go on to your Instagram, go on to your Twitter. Look for us at Little Justice Pod. There you go. It's on the ticker below.
On the bottom.
Look at that. And that's courtesy of Brittany Bigelow and Alan Seals in the producer's booth. We appreciate them. They are amazing. But please go follow that because it's our new little thing. And here's the thing. If you want to get at us during this live through, tweet at us, ask us questions, you can either do that on the YouTube, on the YouTube link, or you can do that on Twitter. We will be checking out.
Be like checking it and stuff? Oh, you're on top of it.
Oh, absolutely.
I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you don't expect
it. I set my bar low and you've jumped right over it. So.
Yeah, the bar has been jumped over. Yeah. But that's the thing. You're in for a treat tonight. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a party. I'm drinking already. Do you know what I mean? Alex, you got something.
Oh,
cheers.
Yeah.
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers. It's an LA Lakers commemorative maker's
bar. Wow. I like that.
It's actually all that Bristol Farms has had for about 2 months.
That's great, dude. I have Sarah signed me up for a whiskey
Ooh, like a club.
Yeah, and it was messed up because it was her opening night gift to me for Ain't Too Proud. The stuff was supposed to come
now it just keeps coming.
Now it just keeps coming
long after you've stopped.
But
the whiskey keeps coming.
But now it comes to my home. Aaron Albano in the chat being ridiculous. Aaron Albano saying, ew, gross. Well, thank you, Aaron. I love you too. We are here to celebrate Little Justice having some social media. My cat is here. He's already licking my foot. I'm going to give him a brief second to say hello because otherwise, you know, he'll be mad.
You know, we have real people waiting to come on.
Oh, no, I'm aware.
Yes, waiting to be introduced.
You know what the thing about that is, though? I'm going to put you down, buddy. I'm going to put you down now. I love you. The thing about that is, the people who are waiting disturb me in a way like I'm almost not. Yeah, exactly. Aaron Albano. Ew, gross. I'm almost not ready to bring them on, but I will do so because we have quite a lineup tonight. So I'll
this
start
to get messy. This is going to get messy.
It's going to be really bad. like I just want to warn anybody watching right now. Please know this is not going to be. This is going to be loose. Let's call it loose. Let's call it loose is the fun word, but that's what we enjoy loose here. So the first person I want to bring on is a dear, dear friend of mine. Probably the person in this crew that I've known, actually in this crew outside of Alex Mollo, I've known this man the longest. He is an amazing actor. You have probably seen him in I Was Lorena Bobbitt on Lifetime as the terrifying John Bobbitt. Before that, he has worked in Stratford. He has worked, he's in Star Trek. I mean, this kid is amazing. He's one of my dearest friends. Ladies and gentlemen, Luke Humphrey, come on in.
Yes.
Gross.
Oh, I didn't see you there.
Gross.
Straight off a 70s VHS tape.
Hey. Yeah, the quarantine goes on. Is this having a good time?
Are you doing okay? Are you doing okay?
Oh,
you're fine. You're in Canada.
Yeah, he's in Canada.
I'm in a utopian society, and
what's that behind you? Is that healthcare?
Yeah, it's socialism. I just get paid by the government because there's a pandemic.
Oh my god,
we don't want it.
I hate it.
I shouldn't talk about that.
Listen, you can't bring that up here.
I don't want to anger Trudeau.
Yeah.
He's too handsome.
So before, already
you can see. How hard it is to be an actor in a country you're the most handsome man? It's like, yeah, romantic interest, possibly, but he's no Trudeau.
He's no Trudeau. That's what a bar. What a bar. Right. And we will talk more about Trudeau as the evening goes on, but we want to bring in the rest of the guests.
We will. I'm sure I'll come back around. Be assured.
Trudeau will come back into this conversation. But we want to bring on the next guest. The next guest is the person that I've known the second longest, but he is my brother's darkness. You have most recently seen him in 20s on BET. Before that, he was Hamilton in Hamilton. He was Smokey Robinson in Motown the Musical. He is just an incredible actor and an incredible friend and a Patron connoisseur. Javon McFerrin, come on in.
He's so mad.
Better.
So mad.
Why am I here?
It really is that kind of thing where, like, I just give you the call and people say yes or no.
Imagine having to show up every week.
You literally invited everybody on a broadcast private FaceTime.
I know. Here's
you got a Google chat meetup, and you decided to get up together.
Can I tell you? I feel so terrible. So Broadway Podcast Network is like you know, they are working hard to like streamline and like make these town halls like amazing and like some of the town halls that I've seen that they've done and produced have been incredible. And then when it's our turn, I'm always like.
Have they seen your content?
They know. We don't get it either.
We're very confused as to why we're still here. But perhaps you guests will show a little bit of why. So we're going to keep bringing you on. The next person I want to bring on, By the way, guys, there's too many guests tonight. Like, we have so many guests. It's kind of insane.
I feel like I should have gotten all my talking in now because
you got something to say.
No, everyone can ask questions, by the way. Questions abound. All of you will have a chance to speak.
Do I have to raise my hand?
No, you'll see. You will see. The next person I'm going to bring in is you've seen him most recently in To Kill a Mockingbird. I'm doing all these credits off the top of my head, by the way. To Kill a Mockingbird is Tom Robinson. Really? Before that, he was Lafayette Jefferson in Hamilton, and he has played Enjolras in Les Mis. He is just another incredible performer and another brother. Kyle Scatliff, come on in.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Kyle.
Hi. I literally, you should have seen me. I was like, where's the center of the camera? I got to put this correct.
So good. Oh my God.
Javon looks terrified.
Well, at first I thought you did like a screenshot background of yourself.
Oh, that's just me.
You were just going to come out of your background like that.
It's crazy.
I just froze as much as I could.
All right. And then to continue on, this next young man, how can I describe him? If you saw that movie Cats, he was not in the film. But if Idris Elba needed a body double to play McCavity, this is who I would go to because he played McCavity in the Broadway production. He was also Charles Lee in Hamilton. He is also an amazing screenwriter, an amazing nerd like the rest of us. Daniel Gaiman, get in here.
I've ruined myself already. We're going downhill already, right?
And
now.
He never worked again.
And he
never worked again. In my life. Thank you for having me. This is so great.
Oh my
great.
God. It's so
Repping
great. Out here. Yo, Will, he's there. He's ready. All right, let's bring the next. And I'm telling you, too many guests. The next guest, most recently, you saw him in Bluff City Law on NBC. Before that, he was another Hamilton in the Broadway and LA and San Francisco companies of Hamilton. He's also he has more creepy Seven style journals than I can count. yep, we'll get into that.
We'll get into that.
Michael Lavoie, come on in.
Oh my God.
What? Hi, how are you?
We're gonna get into that. We're gonna get into that story, by the way, as well.
Sure.
Wow. Already.
Cat plush.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Oh my God. Never should have agreed to do this.
No, phenomenal.
This is pure chaos. All right. All right, the final person we're getting in here. This is a man who has played Lawrence Phillip for quite some time. Brilliant singer, brilliant musician, brilliant actor. Elijah Malcolm, come on in. See, that was a nice one, right?
Yeah, that was smooth. What?
Hello there. Hello there.
No.
Oh God. This is going to become a theme on this show that you have to make it.
Everyone's got to exit the same way too.
Oh my God.
Well, gentlemen, it is such a pleasure to have you all here. Cheers to those of you who are drinking tonight. Cheers to those of you who are not. That's still fine. Cheers.
I'm already like at the bottom of my glass.
As you should be.
I haven't even started.
And ladies and gentlemen, you should be here too. So once again, we are here to celebrate the release of our social media, Little Justice Pod, on Instagram and Twitter. You know, it's a thing. It's a thing that's happening. But, you know, I brought you here because you guys are awesome people. Alex, by the way, I hope you're uncomfortable with the fact that I'm completely taking the reins of this.
You absolutely have. You started introducing people by how long you've known them.
Yeah.
We're invited by you because of the fact that you know them. Just by chance, I know Luke and Javon.
Luckily,
I've got some connection. A little bit.
I'm pretty sure that I'm going to lose all these friendships by the end of the night. After we do what we're going to do.
I'll talk to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So, no, I just want to check. So, first question for you guys. And, guys, again, comments are open. So, throw questions at us and we'll answer them all night. How is your quarantine No, shut up, Luke. How is your quarantine going? How are you guys doing? How are you surviving? How are your hearts? How are your
Americans
soul?
First.
Wow.
Hard. It's hard.
I'm gonna wow. so hard. I'm gonna start with.
Is that all we have? Like that sort of like aggressiveness?
Yeah.
Like we're mad at Canada, so we're like, please go ahead. We're
at this point, it's just like, I'd love to go to the doctor. It'd be great.
It'd be so great. Let's go. Let's start with McCavity. I don't like that you call yourself that, by the way, McCavity. Yeah, I don't.
We're
like
not even gonna give a fuck. So you're gonna get half.
That is so gross.
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I got a new bike. It's a turn bike. It's a nice foldable bike. So as long as I'm outside, like kind of getting my air and riding my bike with my mask on, that's been great. Just trying to stay positive, and I think whenever I feel myself cooped up, whenever I feel, you know, anxious about what I think I'm supposed to do, I just get out. Like, it's okay. Like, get your mask. Just, you know, I don't know anyone up here that's still here. Everyone left New York. Right. So, so it's nice to be, have the solitude, but also like, don't go crazy by yourself. Just call people up, and it's been nice to contact family and friends, and it's going good. Ups and downs, but here we are. Yeah.
Speaking of calling people up, we saw this young man, Mr. Kyle. We saw you on Monday.
Yeah,
that was lovely to see. It seems like you're doing well. Seems like you're surviving as well.
Yep. I'm alive. I'm alive and doing well. I play Rock Band every day on drums. Suffragette City by David Bowie got 100% on drums today on Expert. Feeling good about that.
Go off.
My credit score apparently went up 10 points right before we started this, so that's good. We live in Jersey right now, me and my fiance, but we're moving to Brooklyn. At the end of the month.
Where in Brooklyn?
At
the end of the month, close to Park Slope.
Okay.
But we'll be in the Park Slope area, but we'll be next to Prospect Park.
Okay.
Nice. So got a haircut.
Yes, I did. Got a haircut today.
Fresh to death.
Fresh. Good. Yeah.
My God. I miss you, Daniel.
I miss you guys so much. Let's go.
Oh, man.
Speaking of fresh, Elijah, you are looking fresh right now. You're looking very fresh. I love the little jersey.
Thank you.
Thank
you, sir.
Yeah, the space is looking fresh too. Where are you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is this?
Is that
your house?
This is my grandmother's sunroom. This is my grandmother's house. She has a sunroom. She likes to sit back here and watch her stories while she sunbathes in the comfort of her own home.
Excellent. That's wonderful. I love that. Michael Awoye.
Yeah,
how you doing, man?
You know, I'm doing all right. It's a pandemic, so you know. Cooped up inside your own apartment for so long, it can get a little nerve-wracking and everything, but I'm thankful to be able to like go on walks every now and then, see some people, saw you fools, a couple of you like a week or so ago. But yeah, I mean, what can you do? You accept this and kind of like take it day by day.
That's it. And I will say, the last time I FaceTimed with this young man, he was making an amazing like Chef Bourdain style meal of plantains and like chicken,
I was making like a meal for a couple of days, so I made some like chicken noodle soup, but then I was also doing salmon. I wish I had any spirit to be disciplined for like meal plans and stuff like that.
It started, everybody got really intense about cooking, everybody's baking bread and doing all this stuff. And now it's just like the grocery store is too much to handle anymore, and like everyone's just giving up.
Everyone.
That was the honeymoon phase. It was like everybody was like, listen, I'm gonna make this bread. Like, I'm really gonna make some bread because I can't make that bread right now. And I'm also gonna learn like some Japanese and maybe a little Swahili. I'm doing everything. And then month three, it was like murder hornets.
I don't know what happened to them.
We're not talking about them anymore.
No, we're not talking. We're not talking about them.
Apparently, they just disappeared.
That's September. What, yeah, wait, exactly. Wait, watch what happens. They're going to come back. Murder Hornets 2.
Oh, God. Javon, are you scared of Murder Hornets?
This is going to be just like cops and birds. We're all going to end up like that.
It's the first 4 hours of the podcast that really kind of like get build momentum.
Yeah. The pod hasn't started yet. No, but Javon, how you doing with those murder hornets, man?
I'm great. I haven't seen any.
Excellent.
So I'm not scared.
That's how they get you.
All y'all just popped out at the same time. Like, and then nothing will get you.
You're going to wake up one day.
Yep.
Somehow a murder hornet is in my apartment.
That's terrifying. Well, and Luke, of course, you are in, as we covered, Toronto. And you are safe and you have health insurance and, you know,
well, it's not so much as I have health insurance as much as we have health insurance.
Rub it in, man.
No, man, actually, my wife just got into, she got into a bike accident. She broke her collarbone, had to go in for surgery. And, it's been crazy.
It's going to be a brag. It's going to end in a brag right here.
No, she went to
hospital. Yeah, she didn't pay anything. I guess
she didn't wait to see a doctor.
She didn't wait to find
out. Actually, really wonderful.
You guys still can pay rent. People took care of us. Happily ever after.
But it was crazy going into a hospital during a pandemic, man. Like we're in stage three right now, but it was really eye opening because my wife was in the fracture clinic, and predominantly it's senior citizens, right? It's people who have small falls, break a hip, and that stuff doesn't stop because of a pandemic, and so everything is being managed on top of that. So it really, like, I wasn't allowed to be in there. Like, she got into an accident. Like, she was going in and rushed her into the ER, blood everywhere, like, all this kind of stuff. It was super scary. And then they're like, "So you have to leave." You know, it's like just an extra body in a potentially, you know, in a exposed spot. So, like, we just can't afford these extra bodies. So you had to go. And you're like, oh, yeah, this is outside of just the people who are getting sick. This has ramification for every accident, every incident, any health scare. And it just, I really struck home, man. Also, it was free, so, you know, that was interesting. But
how's she doing now?
She's doing a lot better, man. She's got some mobility. I'm doing a lot of cooking, a lot of cleaning.
Good, as you should.
I honestly love it because it's like the most thing I've had to do since the quarantine. I'm just like, great, I get to be the caretaker guy, and it's keeping me busy, which is, you know,
amazing
to spend time with my wife.
Amazing, and
that's how the Shining started.
That is how it's done. But no, that
oh dear Lord!
I'm almost done this drink.
I'm
like the caretaker, you know.
We're also isolated in a hotel in the middle of winter. With my inability to write.
You know, funny thing about The Shining that I learned the other day was that the black guy that's the guy that teaches him about The Shining.
Yeah.
In the book, he apparently saves their lives. In the movie, he just gets. I was like, what the fuck?
So and thus began the death of the token black man.
Yes, he did. Sounds like Stephen King was doing us right. And then the producing company,
we're like, nope, can't have it.
Can't have it.
They said
no black man here.
They said nah. 5 seconds in, axe to the chest.
He's dead.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Terrible. Well, that's all wonderful. you know, Stephen King world, and the fact that. But Luke, I'm happy that we are all happy that she's doing well. And
yeah,
doing
man.
Well.
You know what? Me too. That's good. I appreciate it.
That's great. So excellent. So yeah. So guys, we have except for Alex, you know, who is on his whiskey. We have a lot of actors here, you know. You know, it's a great thing, and I think that I think the one thing I want to start the chat off, you know, because we are a movie podcast, one of the things that we deal in a lot is storytelling. And I wanted to know, just kind of, you know, anybody who can start this conversation. When did you first realize that storytelling was what you wanted to do, whether it was on stage or it was on film, writing, whatever it was for you? It's just always a question that I actually realized with none of you have I ever asked it. When was that first spark for you? Anybody who wants to go?
Storytelling was a thing.
Storytelling was when was the first time that you realized that you wanted to be a storyteller?
That's really sure about, because I feel like that's a different, well, I don't know if I'm actually going to like start answering the question, but I feel like that's different from like choosing to be an actor,
sure,
or like choosing to move to the city and that sort of thing versus like choosing to like try and build your story.
Yeah, I'm talking
those are two different things.
I'm talking the latter. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that kind of happened maybe like a year, maybe like year like two, three, or maybe two, year two of coming to New York. Show that I was a part of for some time, Witness Uganda. We brought it to, when we did it off Broadway, before we like actually started doing it, we went to Uganda to meet the students that the show is based off of and everything. And I think it's the sense of responsibility that you have once you actually see that this is not, like the story's bigger than you are. This isn't just you being on stage and learning choreography and doing this sort of thing in front of the camera. It's like you're getting a sense that the themes inside of this story, the things that are being told, have a different weight that not only are like bigger than you in the moment, but will surpass you when like past your life or your career. And seeing that aspect of it was like, this is actually more important to like try to understand human behavior and also just sort of like understand how to tell a story. So it just felt like when the responsibility kicked in.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Who else? Who else had that first spark? Even like I said, before the acting, before anything, you just knew you want stories. Stories were what you wanted to contribute to.
I think I was a child. I think my brother and I, we had a huge crate of every toy you could think of, and we would lay a blanket down. We would put like pillows underneath to make like a mountain, or maybe make like an establishment or something. And we would just play scenarios. We would play toys. We would play whatever we wanted to play. And I remember, I don't know, I just remember. And it's so funny because he knew I loved it so much. So he when we got mad at each other, he would leave and go watch TV. Because he knew how much I liked it. And so, yeah, that's that dynamic. But I think I always knew. I just didn't know how to describe it. I think my subconscious knew I loved this so much. It was the love of it that I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this forever. I'm going to keep this. But I didn't know how I was going to keep it in a way. And then I kind of, you know, through life just sort of fell into all this. But I think that those moments for sure kind of put me in the place of like, wow, I love this creation. I love this play. I love this whatever scenario we can. There's thousands of them. We had every toy. We had Rescue Heroes. We had Barbies. We had Max Steel. Wow. We had freaking everything. So it was just like we had so much to deal with. And so I think it's just playing with that sparked a lot of love and joy into it that I wanted to keep for the rest of my life.
Beautiful.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com. Mm.
Yeah, I think for me personally, it was a lot like Daniel. I remember having a creative writing assignment in like the fourth grade and loved the freedom of just being able to express myself and go wherever I felt like the story needed to go or whatever felt fun for me and not containing myself. And the first time feeling that freedom of not feeling like I had to fit into a certain thing, but that I could just freely express myself any way that I felt kind of sat with me in a way that I didn't want to leave. And as I got older, I would watch, like, I had this weird infatuation with watching home videos of just like me and my sisters and my parents at Christmas or like birthday parties and stuff growing up. And then I would walk around the house and take the camcorder and like make movies. I remember watching like the special features on, I don't know, like Chicken Run or something like that, or something where they were doing claymation. And they broke down how they made claymation movies kind of in the special features. And I was like, yo, I could do that with Play-Doh, and started doing it with Play-Doh and yeah. like my toys and just making movies and stuff like that. And it just kind of stuck with me.
It's amazing. That's amazing. Mm. Very cool.
Yeah. I'll go. When I was younger, it was weird. It was like, you know, you're doing, and I think it echoes what Daniel was saying, was like you're doing something in your life kind of constantly. It's almost as if your own mind is calling out to you to do something, but you don't know what it is yet. So for me, I was always more on the quiet side when I was younger, but I didn't realize I was so quiet because I was with the wrong people. When I finally started doing theater in about 10th grade, I started to realize the community space was the right one first. And then I realized how much fun it was. And then the storytelling part actually came in the second year when I actually did To Kill a Mockingbird in high school. And after doing that show, I was like, oh, I actually really love doing this. And then kind of took off after I did Guys and Dolls in 12th grade. And I was like, I'm doing this. but yeah, it kind of, the community found me first. Before, there was like the feeling of that gathering of people, and you're like, you're all weird in the same way. And you're like, oh, this is what I've always been looking for. And then hoping that it would compound on top of itself and becoming something more beautiful each time. And it did. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Javon or Luke, how about you?
I think kind of going off of what Carl was just saying, I definitely, like, as a kid, I would just play with my imagination all the time. Like, I'd get home from school and I'd go in the backyard and I'd literally, it probably to people looking, just look like me walking back and forth, like in a line, but I'm having like the greatest adventures of all time. You know, you're like being like Luke Skywalker, or you're just doing whatever and you see everything. And so my parents actually were like, oh, okay, so he's a performer. So they put me in a whole bunch of theater stuff. So then to be able to still do what I kind of saw in my head, but in a structure and seeing how it worked, like that was it for me. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, I can do this. It's really fun. People come and see it. Everybody's like on the same team. But yeah, for me, I was basically like, oh, it's just a continuation of me being able to play with my imagination, but with other people. Mm-hmm. To be able to tell a story. So that's how I got hooked really, really young.
Luke?
Yeah, man. I mean, the imagination, like, I mean, just hearing that, like, other people have that experience. But as a kid, I used to live there, you know, like, and I just loved playing with, you know, I had like no media in the house for like years. And so like, it was just all stories. Like it was reading, and it was these just worlds that would like come into my mind. And it was like, I remember being around 10 where I was like, I'm going to be an actor. I know this in my core, but I'm going to tell everybody I want to be a lawyer so that when I work as an actor, as an adult, they'll be like, took the safe way out and became an actor. Look at that. Like I was trying to set up this like weird punchline yep. for a career joke when I was 10.
Oh my God.
It hasn't really paid off yet for the hit. Yeah. I just knew, man. There was just something about it where I was like, oh yeah, it's like, you know, and I remember like being like doing like little plays in like, you know, first grade or, you know, or like little youth theater things and just being like, yeah, this is the thing that I'll be doing. But then I think to the question though, like wanting to be an actor, wanting to be a storyteller, or like wanting to serve story and recognizing, you know, what Michael was saying about like when there's a story that's larger than just being on deck, you know, and like, and just sharing a moment where you're like, this story is going to have impact. I'm responsible to something larger than myself.
Mm-hmm.
That was a different transition, man. And I remember being like 16 and seeing like a play, like a Molière play at like the a Black Box Theater in LA, and just like having my jaw on the floor and like just going, oh, there is something about this experience, this is the vitality of this moment that I haven't found anywhere else. And that was kind of like, you're done. That's it. That's your life now. Go.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. That's awesome. Alex, actually, how about you, man? Cause I know you're coming at this from a slightly different angle.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not an actor for sure, but I mean, I went into filmmaking. I've always written stories and stuff. I remember being in like third grade. I wrote like, I have them. We found them in a box in the basement. All the stories I read as a kid, something about a chicken prince, and I don't know.
Yeah.
But I remember being a kid and like they were saying, like you lose yourself in your imagination, right? Like the world just expands and expands. And it's like you go to a movie. I remember going to see a movie, and then you come home and you live that movie for the next like 12 to 15 hours, right? Like whatever action figures you have, whatever toys you have, whatever books you have, like you're just in that zone and you immediately want to get home after a movie so that you can build the story yourself and keep living that world. As a kid, your imagination is so fertile like that. Mm. So I had just boxes of action figures and I would just set up stories on my bed and I'd be playing with them and I'd build like characters and all these things. And then I'd go to school and I'd take my blanket and I'd pull it over and then tell the cleaning lady to like leave my bed alone. And then come back to school and open back up and like pick up where I left off. And I think ever since then, it's just been an extension of like figuring out how to like mature that and actually like, you know, make that. It's really the same thing, right? You're just making shit up.
Yeah.
It's amazing. No,
that's incredible. That's, I mean, and it's so crazy to hear all your stories just because, you know, it really... It's that unifying factor, right? Where, you know, what I'm hearing in all of your stories is just the awe of this thing and the need to do this thing and understanding that this is something that is not only possible, but yeah, it's that necessity. It really isn't the kind of thing that you kind of dip your toe into. It's you're going at it from a young age. Now, I want to take a pause here because, you know, one of the things that I'm realizing looking around this room is that there's a lot of penises in this room.
A lot of men.
A lot of guys. A lot of guys.
Oh, yeah. You just now noticed that?
You just figured that just out? Now.
That's like the beginning of camera, make sure it's not.
It's terrible. I know, right? Yeah, check. But I was just like, yo, you know, because we're all, not only are we guys, but we're all dumb guys. And I say that because I love you all. We're all dumb. I would love to bring just not only, women are always smarter than us, but a really, really, really smart woman, an awesome woman, Sasha, get in here.
Oh no!
Yes!
Oh! Just turned into a whole other thing.
Oh my god!
I was literally like, how can we make this crazier? I just texted Sasha this morning. I was like, yo, what are you up to tonight? She's like, like, I'm just hanging.
Literally so busy.
Bro.
Super booked these days.
Y'all, this is Sasha. Sasha's the co-host of my talk show, the Chaos Twins, our talk show on Broadway World, in which we use StreamYard.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, quite ridiculously. She is an amazing performer. You saw her in Hamilton, on Disney, on Broadway, both on original Broadway and on Disney Plus. She is also lately in Oklahoma. She is just, you know, resume is long my arm. Today we had a little bit of fun today because we talked about some blessing looms.
How did that go?
How'd that go, Sasha?
I think some people unfollowed me.
Oh no.
I'm not gonna go there. Okay, never
no.
Mind.
It was honestly, here's what I will say, and I want to, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. We presented the facts. Nope.
Wow.
Too high. It's too high.
We asked questions.
We did ask questions.
And we got answers.
Yep.
And that is where it stands, ladies and gentlemen.
Luke, you don't know about the blessing.
The answer's looming in the air.
Stop it.
Oh my goodness.
So there's an investment opportunity that has been circulating.
Don't call it that.
Don't call it an opportunity.
Do not call that.
It is not an opportunity.
The last time
we started, Nick Walker,
when he first brought it up to us, he was crying.
It expands.
I have to go.
Nick was crying laughing when he first brought it up to us.
And here's the thing, we're not going to use any names, we're not going to talk about any specifics, but what I will say is we just wanted people, if people were going to invest in this thing, we just wanted them to have all the information. And that's what we gave them today. I say we gave them a lot of information. And Sasha, I don't like your face on this. I don't like what... We are literally about to get fired. Like, it's gonna be bad. It's gonna be real bad.
I feel like Sasha and I have the same idea about this whole thing, probably. Me and Nick talked about this, and I went off for like hours. It's like, what?
it's an opportunity.
I just immediately, no.
Exactly. No.
Nah, I'm good.
I'm good. I'm good.
Super good.
Really
super
good.
Yep.
Right there. Like, every time I think about it, all I can think about is like the Mary Kay products that still exist in my mother's like bathroom.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So much lipstick. So many.
Mm-hmm. Also, one no should be enough. Like, stop trying to poach me, please.
Well, but you gotta bring those two in.
Bring it together. You gotta bring it together.
3 times 2 is 4, 4 times 2 is 8, 8 times 2 is. See, I was good at math.
I wasn't, and I still didn't do it.
Wow.
Oh God, this is a great episode.
I was like an algebra one, and so like whatever like
that's
the lowest math,
need.
Whatever the lowest was that you had to do to graduate, I did
that.
I sure did too. And I knew.
Listen, what was the last time you used the Pythagorean theorem?
It was a Tuesday, I think.
Oh man.
This is why, Sasha, this is why I invite you on, because this is pure chaos.
This is wonderful.
It's pure chaos, exactly. So now that we have the full company here, I want to get into the nitty gritty. I want to go real. So we do have like a semblance of a schedule and things that I want to talk about.
No, you don't.
Oh, no. I do. I was up. I was up at like 2 a.m. last night. So this game that I want to play is called
Game.
Explain Yourself, Fool.
Do I have to refill my glass before we play?
You actually
I'm
should
scared.
Refill
your glass. I'm scared.
Okay. Explain yourself.
Let me listen to the rules first.
Right. Maybe we'll figure out
how much the more. The rules are so simple.
The rules are
Never, no.
You come in, you put in $200.
Stop it.
Mute her. Mute. It's time to go.
Came in for five minutes, and where are you?
Of this game. But my best, my favorite part again is Alex has no idea what this game is.
I have no idea what's going on. I thought you did nothing for this. And we're like, I guess we're just going to do it.
No. We're going to do this. So, yeah, get it. Get Javon another drink, please. Yes. So I did a deep dive of your social medias. Oh. Yep.
No. Oh, boy. Nicholas. So, Nicholas.
Come on.
Charles. Charles.
Oh, no.
I swear.
It's for our guests, right? Like,
oh, look how tight we all got when you said that.
T-O. For instance, if I was to say to Britt, could you please bring up Smallo 2?
Oh, God. Oh, shit.
Please bring that picture up.
Please don't. What is Britt, you know me. Just
Smallo 2? Oh.
Smallo 2. There's a picture. Oh.
What?
So, Alex, I would like to know the context of that picture.
What is this headline?
Jesus.
Nick, you look like you're like
all I have to do. All I have to do is like feign innocence here, and this is looks really bad on you.
Yeah, no.
You need
this is the face that's innate too proud.
What is the shut up?
Wait, let's bring that back up, actually. Let's just turn this back up.
I know you won't leave me.
Wait, Nick. Pretty well, actually.
I refuse to let you go. Nick, what note are you hitting in this picture? What picture are you at right
this
now?
It's gotta be a C, right?
That's a high C. It's definitely a high C.
That's what that is.
Somebody to love by Queen.
Am I going to address the seeming white woman that is coming out of his heart?
Yep.
In a headlock.
I would like to address that. Alex, what is that context?
That would be my sister, Shayna.
Is she okay?
What? You put her in danger?
that was the night that she left. No. She's fine. For some reason, when me and Nick were first friends back in the day, for whatever reason, she thought he was, you know.
All right. Shit. Hey.
Ooh. So he would use that against me, obviously.
Oh, he put her in a headlock? Like,
use that against me. That's yeah, so he just attacked her. I don't.
Wow.
So aggressive.
No, so. I forget exactly how it happened. I blocked it out.
I'll tell you how it happened.
Yeah, you can block it out. You obviously want to tell the story.
I do. I'm so excited. So Shayna was visiting. Okay.
I don't like this.
No, it's great. No, this is going to be bad.
I feel like we're going to have an intervention conversation coming up.
All of you could never have come here. Every single one of you. Because now you're trapped. And if you leave,
This is Boston, Nick. Right now.
Like, here's the thing: like everybody has like something that they're one specific thing that they're thinking of that they're like, "What punk ass?"
Exactly. I like how even in the social media deep dive, you pick me. You're like, "Let's look at your social media," and then you just bring up a picture of you.
That's a move. That's a weird move, man.
Strange flex. No, because the reason that I did that was because you didn't have any. Well, okay, let's go to Smallo. Can we go to Smallo 1? This is the most controversial.
This is like a court case now, man. This is like.
Smallo 1. Oh my God.
All right, there it is. What
the fuck is happening?
This is painting a really strange relationship.
Look at that hair.
Look at that hair.
Come on. I actually like the hair. Can we bring that back?
Right.
Come on. Nick, grow hair.
Alex, do you have a knife too?
I do have a knife.
Yeah. Oh God, I didn't see that. There it is.
Now, if we examine the photograph, we can see that it's about 12:29. I'm assuming the PM. So
Wow.
Like what to watch for on like a white supremacist? Like,
yeah.
This is what they're gonna try to do to you.
Listen,
who they point to?
All of these pictures are. I just want context. That's all I'm looking for. For instance,
yeah, me too.
Give us the context.
Kill each other. Yeah.
Picture of our relationship. Let's be stab. Kill each other.
Here's my question, to you, Alex. Who pulled the knife first? Who pulled the knife first?
Nick
and who, No,
it was Alex.
It was Alex.
Yeah.
I honestly do not remember. And
it looks like you're the one wielding it aggressively.
Yeah, it does.
No.
Waiting to defend myself.
Whose house are we in? Whose house are we in?
That is my house.
Like, Alex is chopping vegetables.
Is that not? Oh, is
no,
that?
No, no, no.
Oh, is
if that you, if you look closely, if you look closely, you can see the dishwasher is open, which means they are in the midst of either stocking or unstocking the dishwasher. At around 12:29,
I was trying to do the dishes.
We're going to true crime this show.
Okay.
See?
This was in Boston. This was in Boston. We had gone up. We were staying at your mother's house.
Yep.
Where I had very politely helped her with some yard chores.
What did you say? What did you say that you did for my mother?
Jesus. Nothing.
No, that's not nothing.
This is an intervention.
Yes. Why are we all here watching this?
We're all like,
this needs to be private. Wow.
Let's open it up. Let's go to Elijah 2, please. Eli 2.
Eli 2. God, no.
How many are there?
Let's see what we brought up for Eli.
I'm scared.
I feel scared to laugh at anyone's.
Let's see. This is not about laughing.
The anticipation is not good. It's just not. And I don't feel right in my spirit. Oh, I don't feel.
I love every second of this.
I'm like nervous right now. It's not even
I know.
It's phenomenal.
Just all Nick threatening people.
There's no being nervous. Britt will bring up Eli it's too fine. At some point.
I'm going to sue the shit out of you.
Why?
The most embarrassing stuff isn't even on like social media.
Oh, Thirsty Thursday.
Yeah, you don't hit on anybody for Thirsty Thursday.
I believe I'm the one that took that picture.
Yeah.
Deeper context.
So look. What city were we in? Because it wasn't New Orleans when we had
it was New Orleans.
Start it.
We were in that New picture Orleans was when we taken in New take Orleans. The pictures, yeah. We took the pictures so in New Orleans, but it was the city day. Before.
I think once was enough. I really do. I really think.
Wow. It was a two-show day.
Yep.
Here's the context. It was a two-show day. Kyle, Fergie, and I were at dinner in between shows, and were just having a good laugh about how girls on Instagram are always posting like thirst trapping pictures and the captions mean nothing with the picture. And we were like, you know, as a joke, we should really start doing this. Like, we should just do this.
As a joke. Yeah, but as a joke.
Because people do that regardless.
You know, that's how all thirst trap pictures are.
It's just a joke.
It was fantastic, guys. So not everybody does this.
We did it for
me? A week.
Yeah, we did it for like
three or 4 weeks. We did it one every Thursday. If you look through our Instagram and go to Thursday.
I feel like the caption for that picture, especially, is just something stupid like, did you have crab legs today or something dumb?
Yeah, it's something silly. It makes no sense.
That's great.
With the lip bite.
It's
the lip bite.
Yeah.
Come on, so Killmonger.
Good. It's so good.
He's saying, have you had crab legs? But he means.
And I believe I was yelling the word ew as I was taking the picture. I was like, oh, yeah. That's my lip.
And I started posting those pictures, like around the time that we started posting those pictures, somebody made a fake Instagram account called Elijah's Tooth. And they just zoom in on my teeth in the picture. And that was
we still don't even know who it was. I still have no idea.
Oh my god!
Definitely my talker.
This is why I got you all here today.
No one fessed up.
It was me.
Which leads me to my confession right now. I did not.
This is my confession.
No. Listen, it was. It's a beautiful picture, Eli. You're a beautiful man. I would like to, if we may, go to Gaiman 2, please. Gaiman 2.
Gaiman 2. Gaiman 2.
That's a paying gig. Oh, man.
How much did that pay?
Look at that.
Let's see how much it paid. Not enough. I don't think it paid enough.
That is the sunken face.
Daniel, I was in the audience watching this.
Yes, you were.
I was watching this. And
all the blacks are in the back. What?
Yeah. In the back and in black. Hey.
Where all the blacks are in the back of the formation? What's going on there? No, we were doing the 2017 Tonys. It was literally the summer before everything dropped.
Yeah.
Literally. So it was funny. It was a funny time.
It ain't funny no more.
Did I say a funny time? That's referencing to that time.
Now that dude's doing serial killer videos in front of fireplaces every December.
Actually, though. It's like a not a good blend of reality and fiction. I'm like, my guy, like, dude, this is not guy. It. You this think is this it, is bro. The answer? This is this is the answer. This is him.
This is what happens when you fire your publicist, man.
I know.
Wow.
All right. Moving right along. Let's go to. Can we please bring up? Oh, you guys are so nervous now.
Seriously.
Let's bring up Humphrey
One.
I should
get you back, Nick.
Oh, I gotta go, actually. Is this... Oh! Hey!
It looks like the man to your right is about to break character.
Right. His slippers look comfortable, though. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. Talk to me, Humphrey. Talk to me, Luke. What's up?
I'm enjoying it.
My family has weird Christmas traditions, man. I don't know what else to say.
Christmas in Canada.
Oh, I was financially compensated for this. No, this was the Canadian premiere of Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike, in which I was an underpaid stripper for, you know, whatever, 6 months or something like that.
There he is. Wow. There he is. Beautiful.
Nice. Yes. Nice.
I want to make clear, all of this that I'm doing comes out of love. All of this comes
out of love. That's how relationship.
That's what I'll tell myself when I go to sleep at night, so I don't cry.
The one thing about that show that was like has left an impression on me that I'm still trying to get over was the show originally was rehearsed and opened in Manitoba, which. Mm. For those of us who aren't stuck in Canada, is it's cold. So I had to they were like, okay, so part of the deal is you got to be in your underwear. We want you to look fit and all that kind of stuff. I was like, okay. And then they're like, and we're going to rehearse it in a place that's minus 40 degrees Celsius.
Yes. Mm.
So I was like back and forth to get like my groceries, like a kilometer and a half each direction. And I'm not joking you, it was minus 40 degrees.
Oh,
you should have just gone to medical school.
What does that feel like?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Just lawyers hazard pay? Okay.
Honestly,
where's my hazard pay?
I loved it. because when it's really like you just dress for it, like you go outside wearing a couch, like you wear like you're wearing like long johns, you're wearing like, you know, underwear, you're wearing thermals, you're wearing pants, you're wearing like, you know, full.
What kind of couch do you have?
Huh?
Yo, you guys gotta come take me away from my couch hat.
Oh, yeah, man. No, and then like, but it's sunny. When it's that cold, it doesn't snow. So it's actually beautiful, clear. And so there's a river downtown that turns to ice, and then they put art exhibitions out on the river. So you go ice skating for several kilometers and you stop at the various little areas that have art. They have dances out there. There's restaurants on the ice. They have like community hockey games and curly games. And it's like they have the big midnight dance parties under the stars at like in like minus 40.
And you're all in like big ass suits.
Yeah, although I did almost die, though. I want to stress that. Like,
oh, what?
Well, here's your theory.
Well, no, because, like, this is the thing. Like, it's so cold, you will die unless you take measures to not die. And so I was like, a friend was like, hey, come meet me out. It's just, like, about a kilometer away from your building. And, like, I was still pretty new to kilometers. And anyways, the map didn't work. And I didn't wear long johns. And so I'm like, I thought, like, I'm fine. I'm hustling from, like, place to a place. And I got lost. And my phone was dying. I can't, like, my thumbs aren't working.
Shit. Sounds like a horror movie. Oh, no.
Literally. I'm
like Final Destination.
My legs were bright red. Like,
oh, it was,
like,
no.
You're starting to get to the point where, like, you're like, yeah, you know what?
Wait,
like,
they were out?
Like, underneath my pants. Like, I wasn't wearing like, couch sufficient, like, quality layers, you know? Mm-hmm. It was
damn.
Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I lived in Minnesota, dude. I understand
the pain
that you suffer.
Pretty bad. I was also in Cats during the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, so I also know.
You know what? I
oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I'm like, I'm leaning. So, Sasha, do you want Sasha 1 or Sasha 2? I'll give you a choice. You want Sasha 1 or 2?
Oh, God.
Number two.
Yeah.
Can we get Sasha 2, please?
Oh!
With the middle finger down the bottom.
Yes.
That was an Easter egg for Nick for this moment.
What?
What's going on in here?
What is happening here?
That's the sunken place I was in.
Oh my god.
And I don't know if I need
to. Just the nutcracker. Just.
It was our first military soldiers that I was in the racket. And honestly,
I swear, if I were ever watching the movie Get Out and he goes to the sunken place and then that's what it was, I would have just
screamed. Can you see that person in any Jordan Peele movie?
Yes,
like, absolutely. Would you have been surprised if, like, if we had walked around the corner and that bitch was waiting for her?
No. Oh, my gosh.
Oh man, Britt, just out of curiosity, can we just so I can see it, can we go to Sasha 1, please?
Is that Daniel Watts behind you?
It is Daniel Watts.
Origin story.
I forgot
about the crown.
So this is Magneto and who?
What is that? What, Sasha? Explain what that is.
Which part?
Sasha 1. So, what is it?
What is that?
That's the beginning.
Of what?
That's the very beginning of the chaos.
The chaos was
beginning of the end, for sure.
So what we're in Motown. I'm gonna set the scene for you and you tell what happened. We're in Motown.
Yeah.
Okay, Motown.
That's the scene. We were in Motown.
That's Motown.
That's Motown. That's it.
Motown.
That's it.
Yeah. Man, you know what's really sad about this? You can't see the bats.
Yeah, you can't see the bats in this picture. I know.
What is that? Is that a Wolverine mask?
Yeah, it's Wolverine mask. That's from my
joke. It is.
Yeah. Sasha, tell us. I mean, tell.
So we were at Motown, right? We noticed that the perimeter was not secure.
And by the perimeter, we mean the theater, the entire theater.
Everyone's spirits, experiences, and honestly, the book wasn't secure.
Stop! Fired twice in one day. Crazy.
The script was not secure.
The script was not secure. There's still changes. Nick and I don't know. Like, they had a bunch of shit in his dressing room, and we just started putting it on.
Yeah.
I don't remember where my crown came from. Was that in your dressing room? I've actually forgot.
No. I think that was because that was a Christmas decoration.
Fair enough.
Is it? Is it like tinsel? Wow.
It's tinsel.
Tinsel. What are you wearing around your mouth?
So we were going around the building, securing the perimeter, and we did costumes. And there was like there were these fringe dresses that we wore, and apparently there was extra, so I tied it around. Those are from Shotgun.
Sasha, did we stay backstage for this?
No. Why would we go? There's more perimeter.
Yeah, so we went. Where did we go? Did we go out into the house with this?
We were in the house
during a show with this.
During the show.
Oh my god!
With the baseball.
Do you know I went to see Tina, and I can't be in that back area without picturing us in that attire with yellow plastic bats.
Yep.
I don't know why you had those, but
I did. I had two plastic bats, and we walked. We walked the length of the L'Enfantin, smacking the back of the
lobby. We went to the upper lobby.
Jesus.
Yep.
The lower lobby. We secured the perimeter. No one asked any questions.
Nobody.
Wow.
How do you have jobs? Nick, how do you work?
Exactly. How do you work?
You find every line that you can tell us, and you like tap dance across that shit.
I don't know. I'm like,
I'm very shut up. I don't know how it's dead. It's so dead. All right. Who now some of these are nicer. Some of these are more like for instance, if I was to go to like Scatlift 2.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Right. Scatlift 2 is nice. It's a pretty easy one.
That's when I used to breathe fire.
Look at that. Look at that.
That's the play. That's the playbill right
look
there.
Look at that.
Olivier Award nominee, Kyle Scatlin.
Olivier Award nominee.
Christ.
Yeah.
Boom, baby.
You see that? That's just screaming for 3 hours.
I breathe fire. I'll kill you.
I did. I breathed fire out of my mouth for 3 hours a night.
Now, is this true? So you not only played that character, but you were in the ensemble before.
Oh, right. Yes, since we're all dropping funny, hilarious secrets. So let me tell you about the first day of rehearsal at Mayday's, where I and Andy Mientes and Kiala said, like, we all show up and we are doing the first number of the show. And you know, they all of a sudden look at us and go, yeah, you guys are in this number. And we were like, what are you talking about? She's like, I don't come in until we get to Paris. Like, what are you talking about? And he's like, no. In your contracts, it says as cast. And you're like, what does that mean? None of us had came across Nikki M. James hadn't come across it before. Well, people were calling their agents like, are you serious? People were fans. So we were
can
in
they
the
do
show.
This?
Yeah, we didn't know that you could do this. So normally, for people listening, normally if you're a principal on Broadway, you don't do ensemble. You're a principal. You do if you're in the ensemble, you could be a featured ensemble, but it usually doesn't go back and forth. So in this show, you were in the ensemble as cast because that's the way they did it originally. So they had the same contract, and then you played other characters in the show until you actually were your character. So I was rowing at the beginning of the show. I was one of the beggars during at the end of the day, like singing 3 hours. And it was one of those things where you're like, you sang almost
they working
time.
Up.
Working.
Oh, working. Man.
And, like, you, and then I would become Andros. And then when I died as Andros, I came back as a fucking waiter at a wedding. So I'm in the back of the stage, 6'5", wearing a white wig, like at a wedding. People are in the cast are going by me, and I'm just being an asshole on purpose. I'm just like, ooh, welcome to the wedding, folks. Like, I don't care. Because I'm like, I'm dead. Why am I standing here? And I remember bringing it up to them, too, being like, are you sure they're not going to notice my big ass in the back? Like, are you sure?
Not,
like,
not
it
so
won't matter. Hell. It won't matter. I was like, all right, I'm going to fuck with this.
whatsoever.
Every like, time.
You soar over everyone.
Oh, my God.
Bro, it was so funny. I would mess with everybody at that wedding, and then I would go back into my Andros costume just for the ending. So it was like back and forth.
Still like that?
It depends on if the show was like that when they first made it.
But you know,
and they have to negotiate that.
As a principal, though, you can be, until you're introduced, you can be used as anything until your character actually comes on. And then you can also be in one additional scene.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Wow. So, yes. Yeah.
So they got us. We didn't know. Nobody knew.
They got you.
We got God, bro.
At the end of the lawyer.
Like Casey.
Yeah, Levy, got. She was, so what you're saying?
She was
is
on the
George
she was on the barricade during the entire barricade part. She was there the whole time. Casey, she was just hanging out, making jokes.
At the end of the day, read your contract. That's what the list.
Exactly. After that, I read it.
At the end of the day, go read that contract.
Oh my God! All right, let's bring up LaVoye One, please. LaVoye One. This is one of my favorites.
Yo.
Oh. I like that.
Lit.
I'm actually okay. Here for this though. This ain't embarrassing. This is lit.
Yeah, that's fire, man. Like, what?
This is cool.
So talk about that, Michael.
Lit.
Oh my God, we got James Iglehart in here. What is he
no,
doing?
No. That's
no,
no.
An
imposter, clearly.
Nope. This is terrible. What's up? What's up, Michael? Talk to us.
That was a couple of years ago. That was The Gifted. You know, that was me being like an underground mutant extremist now.
I was going to guess that.
Come on.
Oh, James.
James.
That is dope.
That is dope.
James is just coming in.
One comment, yeah. I'm already roasting him.
Yeah. That was when I played Erg in The Gifted. And,
oh my God.
Gosh, I wish that I could have kept that costume. I tried to get that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Didn't happen. Wish that we could have continued with
that
show.
That would have been my Halloween costume every year.
Yeah, man.
Year.
You look cool.
That would have, by this point in the quarantine, that would have just been my Tuesday.
Oh, my God. It's so good. Now,
let your imagination run free.
You got to. Because this is what I'm saying. Some of you all were real smart about your picks. Some of you all, Javon, you were there was nothing I could do. Let's bring up McFerrin 2, please.
Oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not even in it. You're not even in it.
Wait, where?
I just wanted to bring this up.
All right, bold choice.
Oh my God.
Look at Juwan.
I know.
You're such an idiot. You're such an idiot.
Oh, God.
You're not even in it.
I was like, no, Nick. Carl.
Could you bring up, here's one that you'll like. Could you bring up McFerrin and Walker, please? McFerrin and Walker.
Wow.
Look at that clear
both
skin.
Of y'all had hair.
Both of them had hair, but I'm wondering what Nick, what are your hands doing?
What's my what?
What are your hands doing, Javon?
Don't worry about that. Now, Javon, now, correct me if I'm wrong.
Is that Ithaca?
That's Ithaca, and I think it was the night of the breakup.
What are we talking about?
And you want me to tell the story?
Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
Okay, so to just make it shorter. So we met 11 years ago, and he was dating some chick. I don't know her name. It's not important. She's in the story. Hey.
This is bad.
So he's talking about her the whole time. He's like, she's great.
She's not
amazing.
Important, but she's the first thing that he talked about.
Exactly.
It's like literally the first fact we got.
You know?
Wow.
Like, she's important wet. Now. It was significant.
She's
then.
Not important now. Yeah. So he's like, oh, okay, so it's during the week that he's playing Collins that she's going to come up and see him in Rent, right? So she comes up. Takes the bus and she's there. And of course, like when you know that somebody has a guest in the audience or you have a guest in the audience, you might play to them a little bit more, like if you find them in the audience. So we all kind of just gave her a really dope show for herself, right? So mm-hmm. then we all meet her afterwards and it's like, oh my God, we've heard so much about you. Can't wait to hang out later. You're like here for the weekend, right? Cool, awesome, da da da. And my girlfriend was there at the time. And so then we just went back to 212 Giles because I think we had another show, like a matinee or something. Yeah. Anyway. And then I'm in bed and he calls me and he goes, hey, man. What's her name just came up here to break up with me. And she wanted to do it to my damn. Face.
Damn.
And she left.
And then she left.
She left. She left after that.
She got a call.
She left.
Did Nick just stay in the house?
No. So, no, wait. Here, no, there's more.
Oh, I know. I've heard this story.
And so I was like, oh my, you know, if you're like, oh my God. I was like, Nick, where are you? He was like, oh, just walking on a bridge.
See, this is that moment in screenwriting where we call it the call to action. When you hear your friend say, I'm on a bridge. So,
which bridge specifically?
So he's on the bridge that connects that you have to go over to get to the theater itself if you're like in town. So I know exactly where he is. I'm like, all right, you stay there. I'm going to come get you. Little did I not know that he had already called our other friend, Adam Hose, and he told him the same thing. So when me and our friend Ryan Garcia arrived at Saybridge, Nick Walker was not to be found anywhere.
No.
and it's a tall enough.
Did you go into panic mode?
Yeah, because it's a tall enough bridge that like you could fuck your shit up and then like drown, like damn. You break your leg and then it's a wrap. I don't know if he can swim.
Photo from after the bridge, like after you guys encountered.
Yes. So I call his phone and he's like, oh, I'm at the bar with Adam. So me and Ryan go to the bar. And then it was also like the first week that the college kids were coming back because school was about to start. And so Nick was just like, I just want to go out and like get fucked up and dance.
I was like, gross tonight. I just want to dance.
Yeah, it was literally like the Dane Cook. It's like, I just want to dance. You know? Nick danced for maybe 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And then he realized he was like, now I'm
singing. He's a singer first.
and then we just got drunk. So that's his greatest acting work right there because he's actually heartbroken.
I was now. Devastated.
You look how he feels.
I think my question. Yeah, no, I'm like super drunk and tired at that point.
Angry.
You know when like you're a good friend, but you're just like, I gotta wait until he goes home.
No, wait.
But like, he's mad at Shane because he was comfortable in bed.
He called multiple friends to help him.
Put James Idleheart's comment up.
So why didn't you call me just
James? Let's go.
Wow.
Tony Award winner, James Idleheart. Yeah. Tony Award winner, James Idleheart is here.
Put that on me to work right there.
To cause mayhem.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Just the worst. Yeah, man. It was a hard night.
That was a hard night.
Why did you not call or text Javon and be like, hey man, I've already been picked up. We're at the bar.
Yeah, like I'm not at the bridge.
Come here.
Yeah.
Me and Ryan got to the bridge. Right. And also, this is when Nick would walk around with a knife on him.
Can we pull that picture back up?
Oh my God.
I see the thing behind his eyes.
Nick has like the Black Panther necklace on.
Yes.
Oh my God. That was the moment that the darkness entered his soul.
Cheryl, the comment says that she remembers this from the Hamilcast. Also, you can find it on Javon's episode of Little Justice. We go into it again. This is like a defining moment.
This breakup is really
yeah.
What if he called me and he was like, oh, he told me the story, and then I'm like, bro, I'm already in bed. Yeah. Like, we got two shows tomorrow. Just like walk it off.
But that's a real friend. That's a real friend.
No, that is a real friend.
Oh, yeah,
that is. Friend. Yeah.
Now that I know the story full out, I see the pain behind his eyes. You see?
There.
You went to Spain.
It's only his teeth are smiling. His eyes are not.
Oh my god. So there we go. That wraps up our first game of the evening. Our first
game. The first game?
Jesus.
We haven't even spoken about movies yet.
Little justice. Little justice. Little justice.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.